speaks up for herself and for change. She uses her voice and owns her story to create culture and community, fearlessly and unapologetically. Hi, I'm Purva Miller. Join me as I talk to trailblazers and changemakers about questioning the status quo, building success, and creating a life that truly inspires. So grab a cozy beverage of your choice and get comfy. This is the Women in Our Town podcast. Naomi Porter is a 16-year-old serial entrepreneur, education reform advocate, public speaker, and student leader from Los Angeles, California. She is the CEO and founder of two businesses, Spice It Up and Bright Futures. She is a national intern for Girl Scouts of America and a 2020 Gold Award Girl Scout. Hi, Naomi. Welcome to the Women in Our Town podcast. I am thrilled to have you on today.
Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be here.
You reached out to me on Instagram, and it's not the first time someone's reached out to me on Instagram, but no one's ever reached out to me the way you did. And I think it's a really interesting story that I want to share because you sent me some content, a blog post that you'd written, and you said, you know, here it is. I think it might be something that's of interest to you or your audience, and feel free to share as much or as little of it as possible. And to me, that was just such an incredible example of generosity and generosity of content and just, you know, no expectations, no asking for anything. And I think that that is such a great indicator of what I hope is the direction we're going in how we share content, because I think the best ideas should be, you know, shared for the sake of sharing. So thank you so much for doing that. And here we are.
Yeah, here we are, 100%. I mean, the more that we can really just help each other out and spread ideas together, that's how the best things, the best businesses, that's how everything happens, is if we share ideas with each other and bounce thoughts with each other, that's how the best conversations are really started.
Absolutely. 100%. I agree. So you are 16 years old. I can't believe that you are 16 years old and a serial entrepreneur. You've had multiple businesses. You've done so much work with the Girl Scouts, and we're going to get into all of that really good stuff later on. But I want to start by asking you, what shaped your passion for entrepreneurship?
Yeah, that's a great question. And really, when I was younger, everyone always used to ask, my parents especially, so what is Naomi Porter? What does your daughter do? What's her why? Right? Because kids were discovering their passions really at young ages. They were told, you're going to be an artist, you're going to be a great musician, you're going to be an athlete. And they're finding these passions and their talents. And here I was attempting to, you know, kick a ball into a soccer field. I was like, this is not for me. I have no musical ability whatsoever. And it really came down to the fact that I was a student. I was someone who wanted to do good in my community. My favorite like pastimes were really just volunteering and getting involved and talking with people from all different backgrounds. And it wasn't until sixth grade where I saw an application in the local newspaper to be a part of the Young Entrepreneurs Academy. Mm-hmm. And basically the ad just said it's for 6th to 12th graders who are looking to do something a little different. And that really spoke to me, and it really resonated with me, because I was like, that's exactly what they're describing. They're describing someone who doesn't have all these extracurriculars and who isn't juggling sports and artistry or anything like that. They're speaking to me. And so I applied and I was selected, and I was one of the youngest students because I did this in sixth grade, and it's a program for 6th to 12th graders. Mm-hmm. But that really was the best thing for me because I learned so much from older kids.
Right. And, you know, it's really interesting that you said that you weren't necessarily in the sports, kind of in sports extracurriculars, you weren't an artist. And I think in school, we place so much emphasis on it's your grades or it's athletics or it's artistry, and you need to be doing all of those things because in many ways your resume padding for those college applications that you're going to be putting through. I mean, it's been a few years since I've been out of college, but it was sort of, it was sort of like that. And I think it's so interesting that you said that not everyone fits into those sort of narrow buckets that the education system class for us. So I you know, I'd love to get your thoughts. I know you're quite vocal and an advocate around education, and you are in the school system right now. So I'd love to hear your experience. What are some of the barriers to entrepreneurial thinking and entrepreneurial education that you see and you've experienced, you know, in your journey?
Yeah, so really it comes down to what questions we're asking our children and our youth, right? Because mm-hmm. Gen Z, this generation, we are the future. We're 100% in the future. We might only make up like 14% of the population, but we are the future. And so it starts with changing the questions we ask. So often you're young, and when you're like even just 5 and 6 years old, parents, teachers, coaches ask you the question, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Right.
Like, this is such a limiting question. And I really want us to change the narrative. Mm-hmm. Instead of asking kids, what job do you want? Right. This really trains us to think of a job specific path. Instead, ask kids, what do you want to change about the world? How do you want to use your talents and your passions to inspire change? Mm-hmm. Because really, when we shift that mindset and we shift the questions that we ask, we're producing more entrepreneurs. We're producing more change makers, more people who are in it for the collective good and collective entrepreneurship. Instead of looking at someone as competition, look at them as a future partner. Because really, in our school system, we place so much thought and so much emphasis on your grades, on your extracurriculars.
Right.
And so you might look at someone who got an A on their math test and you're sitting with a B or a C, and you look at them as, they're going to get into college and I'm not. But in reality, it should be good for them. It should be a grade doesn't define me. And the same thing goes with sports, with debate, with mm-hmm. any of these things. You might look at someone who's doing something amazing, and instead of praising them, instead of saying, that's so cool, tell me more, you look at them as they're stealing my spot in a job or something that's rightfully mine. And so it really starts with shifting the mindset and with starting mm-hmm. to ask questions that are more positive, that are more uplifting. So we view each other not as competition, but really as a friend and as a future partner.
You know, I love that you said that. And I think that I read I can't remember where I've read this, but it's a famous quote by somebody famous has said this, that business people create products and sell products, and entrepreneurs are looking to solve problems. And I think that that's kind of, you know, applies so accurately in some ways to what you're saying, because we need a generation of people, a future generation of people that are working on the world's problems. We have enough stuff. We need people to be solving those problems. And I think that shifting the conversation to that is so key. And, you know, it's when I was reading about you, I was thinking that if you think about formal education, and if you think of formal education as this path to success, to, you know, careers, to growth, all of those things, it takes, at the minimum, in many ways, 20 years to formally educate a human being from the time that they enter kindergarten to the time that they graduate college. That is assuming that they are not going into any sort of higher, more specialized training or getting a master's degree. And the rate at which information is being shared, the rate at which the world is changing, is so fast. It can't wait for that 20-year time period for that one individual to catch up to say, you know, now I'm ready to go out into the world and work and create something and make something and build a future. So, you know, I think I'd love your thoughts on this, on what, whether, I don't want to say college education is becoming necessarily redundant, but whether we can start almost accelerating that process of getting young people to think about their futures at a much younger age and actually start actively doing things like you are doing as an entrepreneur and as a business owner.
Yeah, 100%. And so like that's something that I'm going to spend my life really working on, is figuring out how to reform our public education system to offer more than these sort of like typical paths, because mm-hmm. not everyone is going to be be a doctor. Not everyone's going to be a lawyer and go to these like liberal arts colleges. Like, for example, for me in my personal life, I go to a top-rated high school in Los Angeles, but yet I'm looking at my future and they don't have any courses that are available to people who are pursuing ideas in business, for people who are going to make actual change. I'm looking at my junior and senior year classes. Actually, just today I was discussing with my mother about like, what am I going to do at this school that doesn't offer anything for kids like me? I don't want to take all these regular classes. I want to challenge myself. But the only way to do that is by taking like calculus and to take like all these science things that don't interest me at all. Mm-hmm. And so really, we need to start at a young age implementing entrepreneurial education and implementing that into our school systems. So even if it's as simple as having a class or having an elective or just more widening the entrepreneurial access for mm-hmm. students. So instead of them just wondering, what am I going to do when I enter high school? What am I going to do in sixth grade, right? Because those seem to be like the peak moments where people are wondering about their future. In sixth grade, it's all about, you know, not getting shoved in a locker, but it's also about what clubs do I want to join and kind of where do I see myself these next few years? So if we really make entrepreneurship an idea for kids to discover their own passions, that mm-hmm. to me is huge. Whether it's as simple as just clubs or extracurricular activities, maybe like more programs, just having kids develop that kind of entrepreneurial mindset. And the thing about entrepreneurship is, and you mentioned this exactly, is that it's not necessarily about making a business. It's not about making like millions of dollars. It's about using your passions and your talents to benefit the world and to benefit your community. And so, yeah, you might have a STEM background. You might like music. It doesn't matter because everyone can become an entrepreneur.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think that there is this changing perspective in the millennial Gen Z community of, I don't need to make the next Google. I don't need to make the next Facebook. I don't need to have a $1 billion business for it to qualify as successful and for it to qualify as a legitimate business. You know, on the topic of entrepreneurship, through your coaching business, academic coaching, and Bright Futures tutoring, and also through entrepreneurship itself, that your business that you started in 2019, what are some of the I want to say like almost mindset challenges that you see in young girls when it comes to entrepreneurship?
Yeah, it is so hard to see yourself as an entrepreneur. I know I didn't really figure out who I was in that sense. I call myself in the way like an accidental entrepreneur. My mom just mentioned that to me the other day. And I was like, that is kind of what I was, because I was just doing something that I loved. And then that turned into entrepreneurship and turned into my life's work. But in terms of like your question, I'd say just like doubting themselves, but also what other people might think. I've definitely gone through that sort of like fear of like, I'm not doing what a lot of people are doing around me. You know, I think we all want to fit in. That's something that's universal, whether you're a boy or a girl or you don't identify or you're non-binary. Mm-hmm. We all want to fit in. Absolutely. And really, when you see what the normal is like getting these good grades, going on this typical path. Maybe you're an athlete, you know, and you look at entrepreneurship and you're like, that's not normal. I don't want to do that. And I've definitely had conversations with girls who are the same age as me, who are like, I think it's so cool what you're doing, but I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I want to get the criticism, because sometimes as women, we do doubt ourselves and we doubt others. And instead of looking at someone, like I was mentioning previously, and being like, oh my goodness, you have a business, you have an internship, you're doing some amazing things. We look at them and saying, why not me too? But really it should be, why not me too, in the sense of, I want to start this, I want to make something of it, not in the sense of, I want to do that too solely because other people are doing it, if that makes sense. And so I've definitely struggled with kind of like, how much do I post on social media about myself that I don't come off as braggy and things like that. Like, that's something that I've definitely struggled with, especially at like a young age. And I think girls who are looking to get into entrepreneurship kind of see those obstacles, and it just really deters them, because it's so much easier to say, no, I'm just going to be an athlete. I'm just going to be an artist.
I absolutely agree with you. And it's one of those tricky things, because it, you know, talking to you reminds me how early the self-doubt starts in young girls. it's, you know, and I don't know if it goes away. It doesn't go away when you're, you know, when you're a young adult. I don't know how long it's, and I think for everybody, it stays with you to a certain extent, but women, we're always doubting ourselves. We're always doubting our abilities, our capabilities, and unable to see ourselves as, you know, how we might actually see ourselves or want to see ourselves versus what we feel like, you know, I want to belong and I want to fit into a certain group and I want people to have a certain perception or a certain image of me. And I think that that really can be, you know, limiting in many ways.
Yeah, it definitely limits our mindset for sure. And if it's like, it's kind of like this balance of if it's not one thing, it's another, especially with us as women. Like, I know for me, there's something else that's always bugging me at the back of my brain. You know, maybe it's like, oh my goodness, I don't like the way that I look. I'm not as pretty as that girl. I didn't get as good of a grade. So the self-doubt definitely kicks in. It's kind of this mindset of it's never enough. And that's the thing that I'm going to work my life to overcome, to know that, you know what, hey, I'm doing enough. It's okay if I don't have like a model body type, if I don't wear mascara and makeup every day, and these girls have more followers on Instagram than me. That's okay, because I am enough. And I think it kind of pivoted for me definitely this summer with COVID. I definitely became a lot more aware about myself because I cared less about what people were thinking of me and what I was wearing to school, in the sense of it was online. That to me was kind of a shift for me in my mindset of like self-doubt. And so what do you think about that? Like, how has COVID, do you think, affected women in general?
You know, I absolutely agree with you. I think that, you know, in many ways, women have become more comfortable. I mean, I'm here in my, you know, cozies and I don't have any makeup on and I'm absolutely fine to do that and come on camera. I think early in the pandemic, we were still kind of in that space where we had to, you know, like pretty up and look good. I shouldn't use that word pretty up, but I think that is true for a lot of women, that I need to kind of get my hair and makeup and get my face on for a work call or whatever. And I think that COVID has shifted that. I'm also, and you know, I'd love your thoughts on this as well, because I definitely wanted to get into social media and community building, but I think that Instagram and TikTok are also moving a little bit away from that, like, completely filtered, perfect, you know, aesthetic that we've become so used to seeing and doubting ourselves. And I can only imagine that, you know, when I was growing up, we didn't have smartphones, we had phones. And then when I got to college, smartphones became a thing. And then, you know, it was, and now it's constant. And I can't even imagine what it would be like to be a teenager and constantly be seeing, you know, the images of beautiful girls and beautiful women all the time being fed to you 24/7 and perfect lives, people traveling all the time. And I think it's become pretty evident ever since COVID started that most people have, you know, don't have that perfect filtered beautiful life that they're putting out on social media. And I think I know that you're, you know, you've been building a community online, and I'd love your thoughts about how you kind of stay true to yourself. It's so easy, I think, on social media to get caught up in, well, if I just do this thing that's popular, I know I'll get more followers, versus how do I stay true to my brand and my vision and what I'm trying to do? So, you know, I'd love your thoughts on that.
Yeah, 100%. You touched on so many things that like I find myself nodding with, because I agree so much. And I think COVID was definitely an equalizer for a lot of women, because it was no longer are people traveling or having these like Instagram worthy like food, you know, you're eating a lot of like granola and just like random things around the house and you're not going out with friends. So there's like less of this kind of mindset to compare yourself with. And so that was, I think, a benefit of COVID, you know, always trying to look for the positives, right? Yeah. But in terms of social media and balancing my brand, is that I have like a personal Instagram account, and then I have like more of my professional, like GS entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship. And so on those platforms, I post a little bit more about like my professional life, and like if I'm on like any interviews or if I wrote like an article, I post a lot on there. And then in terms of my personal, it's a lot of like my friends and people at school who don't necessarily know this side of me. Because like I mentioned before, I don't want to necessarily be called out as like, oh my goodness, you're like an overachiever or anything like that, because I'm just doing what I love. Right. But I have started becoming a little bit more comfortable about what I'm posting on social media in terms of if I'm really proud of something and I'm like, this is me, I've worked hard on this, I will post about it. But I definitely like kind of dividing up my like personal and professional life. So if any of you out there listening only have like a personal account and you're looking to kind of expand, then I would recommend making a professional account and only having like your super close friends who know you, and find a different sort of an audience who is there for you and your professional self, because that's the way it's a little bit easier to balance that sort of professional and personal life.
I absolutely agree. And I think that, you know, it's for those of us who might want to talk a bit more and share ideas more, a professional account definitely makes sense. And these days, I think people are becoming more and more of a personal brand, right? Like social media gives you that ability to brand yourself professionally from a very young age. You know, what you stand for, what your views are, what your hopes and dreams are, what your passions are. So I 100% agree with that. So you are the co-founder of, among several co-founders of Today Is Her Story and the Don't Quit, Do It podcast. You're a co-host on that. Tell me a little bit about Today Is Her Story and about how you kind of got together with these girls. I think I've listened to your podcast. I feel like there's an interesting story there.
Yes, 100%. So Today's First Story is a teen empowerment organization that's actually run by teen girls, because all these problems that I've talked about are things that we tackle on our blog. It's things that we write about on social media, like mental health, body image, social media, and like looking up to people and like likes and all those things that we struggle with as teen girls. We wanted to have a platform to actually talk about them as like a teen girl to teen girls. And also the flip side of that is that we want to be a place that really encourages other people to become entrepreneurs, to become and do different things that aren't typical of teen girls. So on our blog, we have guest journalists who come and they write about their experiences. We have girls who do takeovers, because we want to be a site that says, good job, we're proud of you. And we have like kind of a worldwide girl tribe who's supporting you and who's backing you up, because that's something that a lot of us didn't have growing up. And we want to be that. We want to be that platform of people who, when we post about a girl, there's like 30 comments that are saying, you go, keep going, because sometimes those comments can really, they can just shift your whole mindset. And if you're having a bad day or someone gives you something negative, that can be the whole shift that makes you say, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep achieving. And so how I met these girls is actually through Girl Scouts. And so I'm a national intern for Girl Scouts of USA. And I actually met these girls only one time before COVID, because now everything is, of course, virtual.
Yeah, yeah.
And we actually, the funny thing is that the eight of us, we didn't really click right away. Like, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, this is the exclusive group, we're the ones who do stuff or anything like that. In fact, some of them I didn't even talk to or know that they existed, because there were really only 25 of us. And so it wasn't really until COVID happened and the shutdown that we were like, we want to do something. And we realized that between like the eight of us, we were all doing very different things with our lives. Like, I'm an entrepreneur. One of my girls is going to be a doctor. She's going to Johns Hopkins studying medical stuff, things that aren't typically like teen dominated or women dominated fields. And we realized that if there's people like us out there, there have to be hundreds of other girls. So let's unite everybody.
That is amazing. And, you know, I've listened to some of your podcasts. You've had some very interesting guests on the podcast. So tell me a little bit about some of your favorite guests and how you got them. Because I think for a lot of people, one of the biggest challenges when you're trying to do something, when you're trying to set up a business or a brand or you know, even when you're applying for a job, one of the biggest fears people have is reaching out. And there's this fear of, oh, someone's going to say no to me and I'm going to feel rejected and embarrassed and it's going to be, you know, like a failure, a little bit of a failure. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, who are some of your favorite guests and how did you get them?
Absolutely. So we started with the mindset of, if there's girls like us out there, then there are probably women like us out there who are doing these amazing things and kind of our big aspirations. So we wanted to interview doctors. We wanted to interview astronauts, authors, again, not typically women-dominated fields, so other girls could see and to ask questions about, well, how do you actually do that, right? Because we can all have these like big dreams of like, I want to be an entrepreneur, I want to be a doctor, but now how do you actually do that? And is this actually plausible? And also on the flip side, is this something I would really like?
Right.
And so we interview people with who are like verified on Instagram with like hundreds of thousands of followers, and which is crazy because again, a follower doesn't define who a person is, but it's definitely something that you draw back and you're like, oh my goodness, someone with this big of a following wants to talk to me.
Right.
That's with like only a couple hundred followers, and that to me speaks loads about who they are as women. And so for me, I did a lot of the reaching out because I really, which kind of funny, like I don't have a fear of people saying no to me or reaching out or sending DMs, but I know some people definitely do. And those feelings are 100% valid. I can definitely understand that. I definitely have my own fears when it comes to social media, but reaching out is not actually one of them. And then we have gotten a couple of rejection of people who are saying, sorry, you don't have a big enough following, but you know what? That was okay because we probably didn't want people like that on our podcast because we want people who look at us and are like, we don't care how many followers you have. We love your mission. We love your idea. And you kind of, when you made it, you turn back to the next generation and you say, I want to help you. And that to me is the kind of women who have those morals and those values who we want to exemplify and lift up on our podcasts. And so definitely some of my favorites have been like astronaut Abigail Harrison, who's one of like the first female astronauts who's in training right now. She's going to Harvard Medical School and she's doing amazing things. And then we've had some like authors and just like activists. So really a wide variety of podcast guests. And it's been very fun to just like get to meet some of these women and just have good conversations. And then we've kind of then shifted right now. We're doing more Instagram lives rather than podcasts because we find it's more engaging for our audiences to actually ask questions while it's live. But definitely podcasts are great too. But right now we're shifting a lot to like doing weekly Instagram lives with teens and women who are really like changing the world. Our hashtag is like making her story, like fulfilling her story, which is kind of fun, kind of cute. And so we're just like asking like our followers to ask questions. So it feels a little bit more interactive and like they can get to know them on a personal level. But I think that we'll soon transition probably back to podcasts, but we're just, you know, experimenting with things and seeing what people prefer. So that's definitely been fun. And I love Don't Go Do It podcast.
That's amazing. And, you know, I think I really loved what you said about, you know, when you have that fear of reaching out to somebody that might have a massive following and then saying no, that's okay, because that's probably not somebody that is the right fit. Exactly. That their, you know, their mission is not, perhaps their mission is to get their brand and their voice out there and not to necessarily connect with your vision. And I think that that's something to keep in mind, is that, you know, when you're being told no by somebody, it's not because, you know, it has anything to do with you. It's just they're not the right fit for your brand. And that's and so I think that takes some of the fear away from fear of rejection away from business. And so with today's her story, you have some of the girls are from different parts of the world. How did that happen?
Yeah. So one of the girls is from Italy, another from Mexico, and then the rest of us are from like the continental United States. So like I mentioned before, we're all interns for Girl Scouts of USA, and we really made like a good connection. And Girl Scouts, actually, they're the majority of the girls are from the United States from the internship, but only a few are from outside of the United States. But we really wanted to bring those girls in because there's so much of a different perspective that you can get when you're not in the United States. Especially with everything going on, we want kind of like a second opinion on, what do you think about this blog post? Is this okay? Is this politically correct? Is this something people are interested in? And on the flip side, we also do things early in the morning. So for example, I'm in charge of doing like a lot of like the Instagram lives and all the posts and things like that. And so we do it at like 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So that way girls who are in Italy can like tune in, and it's not like 3 a.m. in the morning. So that definitely has been a huge benefit for us because we can really reach a worldwide audience, and we can really brand ourselves as this kind of worldwide girl tribe and actually live up to that by, you know, posting things earlier in the morning. So it's not like our content gets lost or anything like that. So we're really engaging like a worldwide audience.
I think that's amazing. I think that the vision to see this as a global brand and to connect with teen girls globally is incredible, because I interviewed a woman who said to me, she said, I was surprised that when I started asking, I ran a workshop and I asked women to tell me about who they are. And I never thought about this, because she's from Afghanistan and her life story and her life experience is so different. And she was talking to women in Canada and the United States. And she said, when she asked them, she realized how much all women in so many ways have the same dreams, the same aspirations. We all want to, make something of ourselves. We all want to, feel very self-actualized in our work. We want to have good friendships. We want to have, good families. And so everybody had so many of the same dreams and aspirations. And I think it's so amazing to start this kind of community building early on. And it's really great that you guys are doing this. So you are a passionate storyteller. I've been reading a lot about what you do and your passion for storytelling. Tell me about your gold project for Girl Scouts.
Yes. So my Girl Scout Gold Award, which is the highest award that you can earn through Girl Scouts, everyone told you, and if you're in the Girl Scout world, you're probably nodding before you already know what I'm about to say before I even say it, which is do something you're passionate about. You hear it really from a young age, and people tell you that in all sorts of levels, really wherever you are in your career. People say, don't do it for college applications, don't do it for resumes, don't do it for anything else, do it because you're passionate about it. And so when the time came for me to do my gold award, I was like, okay, what am I passionate about? Entrepreneurship. Now, how do I do that, right? Mm-hmm. Because it has one thing to be like, I love this. Now, how am I going to actually make this into a project that is sustainable, that is over 100 hours worth of work? And so originally I was going to do everything in person, and I had a whole big plan to do sort of like a convention, but due to COVID, it was canceled. But actually that turned out to be my biggest kind of the best thing that could have happened to me, because I got to engage a worldwide audience for entrepreneurial education courses. So essentially what my award did is it's a continual award, and I continue to do it through my advocacy. Mm-hmm. And so I reached 263 people from really all over the world and engaged them in conversations about how to start your own businesses. We did workshops on like what it looks like to have a business plan, how to market it. And at the end, every participant actually ended up launching their own businesses and developed their own entrepreneurial mindset, because that's honestly the most important thing that I want people to take away, because entrepreneurs continue to make change. It's not just a one and done, okay, I'm done, mm-hmm. I'm an entrepreneur, now I'm just gonna sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. That's not how it works. And so actually all the entrepreneurs had an opportunity to win startup funding to actually make those business dreams and those ventures into a reality. And so that was a huge part of my Gold Award project. And right now still I'm continuing my project by speaking at various events on the importance of entrepreneurship and advocacy and just writing articles and continuing to educate and have people be more aware about entrepreneurship and just the importance of connecting and engaging with each other in these conversations that will really move us professionally forward, personally forward, and really just as a society and as a world. When we're talking about entrepreneurship, we're moving ourselves in the right direction, in the direction of change.
I think that is so incredible that you're saying this, because especially right now with COVID, there are so many small businesses that have gone out of business. And so I think we're at this really interesting tipping point, because there's always been this tension between entrepreneurship and traditional business and traditional career paths. And with COVID, it's possible that a lot of people are feeling discouraged, because maybe they went into entrepreneurship and they started a business and now they've had to close their doors because, they're not getting the foot traffic. But to your point, entrepreneurs are trying to solve problems and change the world. So if you're approaching it from that mindset, you're always an entrepreneur. It's like, if this business is no longer a viable option, there are so many other things that you can do and can find ways to be creative. And I think that it's amazing that you're pushing the conversation forward on that. Tell me about your Silver Award project.
Yes. So in Girl Scouts, what's great about Girl Scouts is that you really have three different awards to kind of move you in the direction of change and in the direction to do your gold award. So the silver award is a 50-hour project. Again, these kind of build on each other. Your bronze award is you do it with like your group and it's like about 10 hours. And then something as simple as like a canned food drive, it really gets you in the idea of kind of what a mindset is and how to volunteer. And then my silver award, I decided it was going to be important for me to connect and engage with people who are different from myself. Because when you have those conversations, you remind each other really of your shared humanity. And kind of like we were talking about before, you know, the woman in Afghanistan, you realize that people are so similar. And I wanted to be a part of the change and to record stories of people from my community. And so really, it started out as just me interviewing people from my church community, because that's the only community that I really knew as a seventh grader, because that's about it in my life. And so I interviewed people really from all different walks of life, and I learned about their histories, and I interviewed them and I uploaded it to the National Library of Congress, and these stories will be preserved for generations. So that way someone years from now can type in a couple of keywords like St. Peter's by the Sea, which is my church, and their like grandparents or loved ones' names, and they can hear about them and hear about their experiences, listen to their advice, and that to me really is priceless. And so I took that and I wanted to do something more. I had already earned my Girl Scout Silver Award, but I learned so much from connecting with people who were really so much older than myself. I was about 12 or 13 when I was doing this, and I was having conversations with people who were like 70 years old. And that to me, like, that was mind blowing, because I just learned so many different things when you're talking with people. And so I wanted to learn more, and I wanted to go a little bit more in depth. So I interviewed school superintendents, the CEO of Girl Scouts of Greater Los Angeles, veterans, council people, just to get their different perspectives on things that affect our world. And really, when I was having those conversations with people, something I always asked was, what is something that you want to change about the world? Because really, we get our best ideas from other people. And someone told me something, and I remembered that, and that actually became one of my girlfriend's, her gold award projects. So that's crazy how really it all connects. And so we all kind of have these shared ideas. And really, if we connect with people who are older than us, and we say, hey, now you go run with this idea and make some lasting change, that again, like you were saying, builds a better future. And so I'm very eternally grateful for Girl Scouts for letting me do that silver award and earning that, and just continuing kind of my personal mission and my professional mission with the help of Girl Scouts.
That is amazing. And, you know, I mean, that really resonates with women in our town and what, you know, we're trying to do here, which is connect women through their stories and tell stories of, you know, all kinds of women from all different backgrounds and all different ages. So much of the stuff that you said, it's going to really resonate with a lot of young people. And I think everybody just kind of needs to know that they can start and then not quit.
100%.
So thank you so much, Naomi, for joining me. And, you know, I hope that we're going to keep this conversation going, and I can't wait to see what you're going to do next.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you're enjoying our content, you can find more stories at our website at womeninourtown.com or follow along on Instagram and Twitter at womeninourtown.